Waterford City and County councillors have voted to withdraw from their decades-long involvement in Waterford Airport. Council officials say yesterday's vote allows for a landmark investment proposal that will secure the future of Waterford Airport and deliver €30 million in funding entirely through private investment. Damien Tiernan has the details.
This special, some would say historic, council meeting took 2 hours at City Hall. During that time, the Chief Executive Officer of the Council, Sean McKeown, outlined why he wanted councillors to vote in favour of three motions before them. One, to dispose of the council land, that is to sell the 160 acres of airport land to a private company for €50,000. Secondly, to agree that there was no need for ministerial approval, because even though it was going for below market value, it would allow for a multi-million euro development across the region, boost tourism, create many jobs, and was the best possible deal. And thirdly, that any money the airport owed to the council would now be written off. After contributions from nearly all the councillors present, with many on both sides criticising the government for not investing in the airport, all present voted in favour of each proposal, with only independent councillor Joe O'Riordan abstaining. Afterwards, the vote was welcomed by William Bolster, who was at the meeting, and the meeting had heard that works on extending and widening the runway should begin next March and would go on for a year at least, so it'll be summer 2027 before any commercial flights are back again at Waterford Airport. Talks are also underway with a number of airlines to see what happens next. Damien Tiernan for WLR News at City Hall.
Main shareholder in Waterford Airport, William Bolster, joined Damien Tiernan on Daisha Today this morning.
Being at that meeting yesterday, I think you felt a bit of history in the making. And even afterwards, maybe you kind of, if this morning and last night, you were getting messages.
Yeah, like, to be honest with you, I probably didn't realise how momentous the occasion was, and not anything to do with me as such, but to see all the councillors there, you know, the CEO reading the whole thing out and just going through the full process, the three resolutions. It was very well presented, three different votes. It wasn't just a matter of going in and voting on one item and it's all over. There was a lot of thought put into it, and I really do think it is a momentous occasion for Waterford and the way they handled it. It's fantastic.
Thanks for coming in to talk to me. As I say, we'll go through some of the things. We'll ask you about different matters in relation to things. And you've always been very good in terms of saying you're open to questions and matters such as that. So just to remind our listeners, you're on the current board of Waterford Airport.
Correct.
You are a 38% shareholder.
Yes, correct.
Approximately 38%. Yep. And you are the sole director and shareholder of the new Waterford Airport Limited.
Correct.
And that address is your home address, I think, is it?
Yeah, well, that's the address we register all our companies to. Yeah.
So, after this vote yesterday, and it's important that listeners know this, the Waterford Airport, there will be safeguards, there will be different clauses within the agreement. The land, 160 acres, is going to be sold to the new company, led by yourself, for €50,000. So you then have an investor coming in with you, and that investor, whose name has not been released, and there's a non-disclosure agreement between him or his team and yourself and a couple of the other people on the board. Yep. So again, we didn't say his name until yesterday. His name will come out at some stage, and I'll talk to you a little bit about him anyway, just in terms of, because a lot of business is personal relationships, and it's about how you get on with people and how people feel a person is going to work. That's very, very important.
Absolutely.
Before we do that, the Comer brothers were involved in the original investment proposal. When did they pull out of the airport plan?
Well, in fairness to the Comers, and I'm glad you brought that up, because, you know, the Comers were stuck with us for 2 years. They didn't actually pull out. What the catalyst for them to move away from the deal is the government not giving the money. And if you have
a statement
minute,
from the Comers.
I'd like to read out a statement from
when
the Comers.
When did they come up with this?
They sent it a couple of weeks ago because of, and the council needed it as well.
Okay.
So the statement from the Comer Group explained they were disappointed over the ongoing delays and persistent uncertainty surrounding the government's decision regarding Waterford Airport. Despite the Comer Group's commitment to supporting the public-private partnership for over 2 years, business cannot afford to wait indefinitely.
the increased costs of funding and construction only exacerbate the uncertainty for a project like this. We extend our best wishes to the Board of Waterford Airport and Devon Regional Investments for the success of their future endeavours. Personally, I'd also like just to thank Barry, Luke, Brian and Joe for their support over the 2 years, because, you know, they're probably one of the biggest success stories ever to come out of Ireland. You know, we're using this billionaire kind of status about, you know, investors and so on. They're a homegrown billionaire. The Southeast have now lost that homegrown billionaire. OK, we're lucky enough that I knew another one. So he's going to step in and help us. But yeah, I think it's a big loss to the Southeast.
And just on that, if they pulled out and this new guy is coming in, why didn't they put in the 30 million and say, do you know what, if it's going to fly, let's make it fly, let's work it?
Yeah, well, you see, this is where that's another great question.
And what's the answer?
Yeah, the answer is the business plan, which we're still working off currently, even with the new investor, that business plan was extremely tight to make it work. Infrastructural projects are extremely hard to make money only on, they will over a long term period, but in a short to medium term, they don't simply make money.
But how can this guy come in from America and see a money making potential and the Comer brothers didn't?
Well, you see, this is where it probably goes full circle out to answer your question, because everyone is asking about the 50,000 for the 170 acres. Really, to be honest with you, that may as well be €1, because
it's a nominal amount.
It's a nominal amount. It has nothing to do with the value of the land. Really, the land had to go into this deal or it wouldn't stack up, along with everything else. And I know people are, you know, and especially the councillors made it very clear yesterday, not too happy about this, foregoing the 670,000. But that 670,000 is crucial to make this deal work, because the business plan is still the same. The amount of money is still the same.
Okay.
Just because there are wealthy people coming in, it doesn't mean it's an open purse.
I understand, but I'm still a little bit confused. The Comer brothers have lots and lots of money. An extra 12 or 15 million from them wouldn't have broke their back. So I'm just wondering, why did they pull out?
I wouldn't agree with that. These people, and if you look at the people now we have in investors, I spend months trawling through paperwork, trying to prove how this will work, just putting a structure together to make it work.
Okay. I'll come back to that. Did the Comer brothers actually put any money? Did they put €1 into the running of the airport in the last 18 months?
No.
No. Not 1 cent?
No.
Why not?
Well, because that was purely...
So they
their
came
money
in,
was purely structured on the government putting in the 12.5.
Yeah, but the council kept the lights on at the airport.
Absolutely.
Do you not think the Comer brothers should have given some money towards that? Because that's one of the reasons that caused the big problems in the last while.
No, in fairness to the Comer brothers, that's where, you know, because they had no ownership or involvement, like people were making mistakes. Devon Regional Investments is my company. So that's where some months ago, you'll remember that I eventually put my name forward to help the council to put the funding in if it was needed, if we couldn't get it
done.
That's
right, yeah, you did, you
said
that to me.
So that's where the money had to come from me, in fairness, not from Comers.
Yeah, and that's important, the point that you make. Devon Regional is you,
yes.
That's not the Comers.
No,
that's not the Comers. So the Comer brothers didn't put anything. So they were only there in name to basically help the government, in inverted commas, put in the 12 million.
Absolutely. Now, they gave proof of funds and the whole lot. Those 100%. People are,
are
legit.
Yeah, 100%. Now, this new investor, again, you're not going to name him, but talk to me a little bit about how you met him.
Well, you know, I can't name, as you correctly said, there's a very strict NDA. I suppose, you know, in the world we live in at the moment, they reckon there's only 3,028 billionaires in the whole world out of 7.5 billion people. I'm lucky to probably know at least two of them. So my travels, I travel a lot for work and so on, gave me the opportunity to hook up with this investor.
And how did his name come up?
How did his name come up? Well, I actually got approached originally, if you go from an investment point of view. So one thing led to another. I said, I have a good investment here, made a proposal. Now, I'm shortening a very long story.
No, absolutely.
Like this happened months ago. I started this work after last October 24 meeting with Lawless.
Okay. Yeah. You spend a lot of time abroad, as you say.
I do.
So, did you meet him in Monaco, or did you meet him? Have you met this man?
Oh, I have, yes.
You've met him a few
number
times.
Of occasions.
In
so,
the States?
Yes. Yeah, in the States and in Ireland.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what's he like?
He's actually a great man. He's, do you know what I like about him? He's old stock, as I'd say. So, you know, you do it the old way. You sit down, you do a deal. The first time I met him, I said, look, I don't have any big presentation now on PowerPoints or anything. I have it all here on paper. And he said, you know what? Love it. He said, that's what I want.
So, and he's a very rich...
We spent hours talking about
him. He's in the top 300 of the richest people in the world. He's major oil and gas pipelines and systems, and the head company is based in Texas, and he has property interests in the southeast, has a big property in the southeast between Waterford and Kilkenny, and he comes over here a number of times during the year. Has he been to Waterford Airport? Has he seen it?
Yes.
He has.
Yes.
And what does he think?
He was very impressed. It doubled down on the deal we did.
Right. And has it taken much persuasion, or does he see this as something that fits in very well to his, I suppose, portfolio? Like, he owns an island off Honduras and different things. Is there any other, like, why is he buying this?
Well, you're saying all this now. I don't know.
100%. Why is he getting involved in Waterford Airport?
Well, I'd like to think, number one, he trusts me.
Yeah,
to get the job done, because he's after tying me up in knots to make sure I stay there and get the job done.
And that's through a legal firm in Dublin.
Yeah.
And they're called, is it Kelly Mason?
No, Mason Hayes Curran.
Mason Hayes and Curran.
Which are the top four legal, and people need to take comfort from that. I know it's technical, but, you know, Mason Hayes Curran would be the top four in Ireland. They don't, you know, only work with reputable people.
Okay, so he's hired, and absolutely, I'm not suggesting anything else. He hired... These are his solicitors in Dublin.
That's correct.
As far as I can see, he doesn't have any other major business interests in Ireland at the minute.
He probably would, I'd say.
But nothing public?
No.
Not that I can see, exactly. Yeah. And I went through a lot of the portfolio, as I say. So why is he getting involved in Waterford Airport? Trust is one thing, and that's brilliant.
Yeah.
But as a money-making exercise, like, I know there's a business plan, and there's if you get so many people and passengers, but it seems, as I say... I'm not doubting in any way his credentials, William. It seems a strange departure.
Mm.
Do you like that word?
Yeah.
In terms of what he's doing.
Yeah, well, I suppose that's why the deal had to be structured the way it is. You know, and there is a bit of pain on all sides from the point of view of the council, the money, the PLC, what has to be transferred for and so on. So I had to make that attractive because, you know, whether you're a billionaire, a millionaire or any other, when you're in business, you have to look at the figures. You have to make sure that it stacks up. The good thing about, I suppose, his position is he can take a longer term view on it. And that's exactly what we're doing. That's what you have to do at an infrastructural project. But you would say as well, and this is where even I think the government are missing a trick, infrastructure projects are the key to any country. And that's, you know, I suppose now we have an investor coming in. Some would say, well, governments should own the infrastructure of a country and so on. But I suppose they missed a trick on that, didn't they?
Is he? He's a big Donald Trump supporter, a big MAGA supporter. Is he planning to, or are there plans to bring in military flights?
No. Basically, military flights, and I'm glad to say, is the has to get permission from the Department of Foreign Affairs.
And once
we
they get permission,
as an airport, no, allow anyone in. That
yeah, way. No, 100%. Yeah. And there are specific. And I went over all the Irish Aviation Authority regulations on this. And Shannon is an example. But there have been some breaches of that. But that's not in any way related to this chap. But like, have you discussed the potential, once agreement is reached with the Irish Aviation Authority, of having some kind of flights which may form part of the United States' bigger, I suppose, footprint in Europe?
Yes, we have, from a general aviation point of view. From a commercial aircraft, we'll have to lengthen the runway even further.
What does that mean?
We'd have to go, we'd have to have a longer runway.
If you have certain military airplanes, there are military airplanes, not the massive big cargo ones, that will be the same size as the planes that you're planning.
Well, you know, there's a lot of criteria around safety, security around military, and you can't just pop up into any airport, especially with regional airports.
Yeah.
there's a lot of safety criteria that has to 100%. Have around for security.
But you have had some initial discussions on that, so we'll see what happens.
Oh, yeah, well, I've sold my soul from the point of view of what we're going to put in for Waterford. It's all about the general aviation. Like, people don't realise there's 13,000 private aviation flights leave the east coast of America for Europe every day. They have to fuel somewhere. We want them to call into Waterford. You have pilot tuition, cabin training, engineering, research and development, which we've already hooked up with the SETU on. Veronica Campbell and Francis Hardiman have been absolutely brilliant, and we've already set up the National Aerospace Academy in Waterford. So these are all, it's not just about getting commercial aircraft and flights going off to Spain and so on, it's about everything else, cargo, all these items we've discussed.
I want to talk about a couple of other things. You're very good for giving me your time. I want to give special mention, firstly, though, to all the staff at the airport. And I'm very conscious. Yeah. I know a lot of them personally. Yeah. You know a lot of them, 16, 18 staff. Mm. Like, every time we've mentioned the airport, I've always mentioned them.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, for me, it was nearly getting embarrassing going out to the airport because, you know, we've had meetings after meetings. The staff have been so committed, and I'm talking all the way from Aidan, the top manager, all the way down to the front door. Everybody has been so helpful, and, you know, yes, they're frustrated. I don't blame them. But part of this deal we've included, and I made sure they were actually even noted in the heads of terms and so on, that there's a new pay deal to be done with the staff. And that we want all the staff going forward. They will transfer under two pay rules, which is standard company rules. But we hope to add to that staff as well. So, yes, they're very important. We want everyone there.
Yesterday, there was a big discussion about the difference of a freehold and a leasehold. Some of the councillors wanted a leasehold agreement, which would allow the council at some stage in the future to make money back off the airport. There will be money made in terms of rates. There will be a rate holiday at the minute, which will be around 10,000 a year.
Yep.
Which, again, some councillors were very annoyed about because they were saying there's some taxpayers in Waterford saying this is ridiculous. They'd love to get a rates rebate and a rates reduction. But that's the deal that has been struck. Then there's all the money that obviously the council put in to the airport over the years. 1.7 million was spent on the CPO of two bungalows in the last 2 years. That's gone as well. That's sunk into the airport. And all those matters in relation to that. Then we have the freehold leasehold. Why was it you or was it this man who insisted on freehold? Because freehold means there's no obligation, there's no, you completely own the land.
Yeah, well, on the freehold leasehold thing, basically in America, people wouldn't be as familiar, even though we could have offered a 999 year leasehold. There's a resistance to leasehold and conditions that could be attached to it. So freehold was the easier part, again, to try and get this deal over the line. We had to use the freehold route to show, I suppose, this is part of the selling it to them.
Okay.
Was to get to be able to offer the freehold.
But they would have, and there are American companies in Ireland, they wouldn't have been, it wouldn't have been completely against, do you know what I mean? And the Guinness example is good because it was mentioned yesterday. And Sean McKeown had said, yeah, we offered a leasehold for a long period of time. I think he might have said 99 years. He might have meant 999 because that's what the Guinness one is. Mm. But that wasn't a runner at all.
No, it was actually a red line issue.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why?
And they've had experience, you know, part of that just in my conversations, because all these things have come up. They had a bad experience. Now, in fairness, it was a 35-year lease that they had on a project similar, and it went sour. And I suppose this is what worries people like that.
Okay. Why the non-disclosure agreement?
Why the non-disclosure? You know, it's funny, my own family actually, when they were asking about names and so on, I said, this is the only way I can explain it to you. These people are in a different stratosphere to, say, you and I. They have, whilst they might have loads of money, they have their own issues, be it whether it's responsibility to shareholders of other companies they have and what's being seen out in the open, what they do personally, and security issues. So, you know, that's why we have to respect that. And that's why I will respect it all the way till the end. The name will never come from me.
Yes, but the name is out there.
If it's out there, there's nothing I can do about that.
Yeah.
I've no control on what the general public or people want to do.
How did the name get out there?
Well, I suppose lads like you are very good at investigative journalism.
But I can't investigate stuff that I don't know. It has to come from somewhere. Do you know what I mean? And again, I'm not saying in any way it came from any members of the board. I don't know how it got out there, but the name is out there. Like, we've had a political party this week put out a press statement about it. So
well,
the name is out there.
The board doesn't know. The only people that know and have signed the NDA is Sean McKeown, our CEO, and Michael Welch, our chairman of the...
Okay, so the name is out there for some reason. Yeah. Can you hang on another few minutes?
Absolutely.
Because I want to talk about all the plans.
No
it's brilliant.
Problem.
Thank you. A couple of things we have to go through. We've only got 10 minutes left, so it won't take too long. 160 acres, not hectares. Again, Declan was wrong with that last week, but Declan spoke very well yesterday, Declan Barry, at the meeting, and fair play to him and well done. For €50,000. You said it's a nominal fee. Did you come up with that 50,000 valuation?
Well,
who came up with the 50 grand?
I came up with it all is if you go back to even to a minute ago where you said about the rates, getting the reduction from the 70,000 down to 10, that 60,000 I had to factor in to make this all to stack up. That's how tight it is. Like,
okay,
you know, we still have a budget of 28 million to deliver this runway. And that's it. It doesn't matter who's a billionaire, millionaire or anything else. That's the figure.
Yeah. And I know somebody with loads and loads of money, you'd say, ah, sure, they'd be able to spend their money flahoolically. They'd be able to just know.
It's the opposite.
It's the opposite. OK, so that 50,000 could have been, as you say, €1. But that was the amount of money. And again, I won't go through all the different valuations in terms of commercial development and all that sort of stuff. The very minimum, 2.3 million, is what the council have said. I would even go further than that in terms of the valuation of the land. You've got the land very cheap.
Well, I will say now there's another caveat to that. If you look at, say, God forbid, this deal didn't go ahead and the airport closed down, the reinstatement costs of that land to put it back to agriculture land would be in excess of the value.
Right.
So in layman's terms, if you had to go out and rip up that whole runway and it was counted as a brownfield site, it would cost more to put it back to agriculture land.
Okay. I'd love to see those figures. I'm not going to argue with you. But
the dumping charges alone, you wouldn't believe it.
Yeah, no. You could leave the concrete there. It'd be grand.
Well,
it's not a very long runway anyway.
But it is a fact. That is a fact.
Yeah, no, I understand. Yeah. Okay. So that's where the money thing came up with.
Yeah.
In terms of all the intricacies within the deal, did that come from you? Did it come from him? Did it come from a combination of both?
Well, it came from me because I had I won't say one chance because I had a number of meetings and many months discussions, but it established itself to try and make the deal work to get to 30 million.
Okay.
And we have to remember as well another important point, 28 is for the construction of the runway widening and so on. We then negotiate another 2 million for the Bristow deal, as I call it, which is a very, very important. It's the SAR Sea Rescue. It secures that for Waterford Airport for the South East. And there's nearly €2 million worth of work to be done, which the airport was finding it hard to raise the money to do.
Yeah. Now, there's millions, 3.5 million, some estimations. The council, some of the councillors saying up to 6 million that the council is not going to get back in investments and CPOs and all sorts of stuff that's been sunk into the airport in the last few years. There's also a new road that has to be raised by 1 metre. You are also saying, and
reduced.
This is part of the reduced by a metre, the council is going to have to pay for half of that, between 400,000 and 500,000. And again, we're not going to fall out about any questions I ask you.
No.
Are you screwing the council and the taxpayer?
No, absolutely. Well, the opposite. Sure, the taxpayer is saving a fortune. Our politically, our government elected local politicians, it's, you could just say, disgraceful what went on over the last couple of years. And yet here we are saving them 15 million. So, well, 12 and a half from government and 3 from council. So
and it was
I would said
say
the opposite. We're saving them a fortune.
You're saving a fortune.
Yeah.
But on paper, the council has put in a lot of money that's not, they're not getting back. And the taxpayers and the ratepayers are not getting any money back. So some people might see it, you're getting won over on the council.
No, because again, back to being an infrastructural project and taking so many years, the council, in fairness to Sean McKeown, which I have to compliment, he's new to the Waterford area and he handled this unbelievably well, even in his negotiations and putting in the embarrassment clauses and so on to secure Waterford, to make sure that there'll be no mistakes made and that the land is secure and that Waterford and the South East will get their runway. But to answer your question, the council also had to look
at a long period of time for a payback. So they're going to get increased rates. There's going to be development out there. And that's how they get their money back.
Yeah, no, I understand that. And that's exactly what has been said and said at that meeting. A couple of councillors were saying that you could have gone even harder on the council.
Could have, absolutely.
Okay.
But that's every deal is compromised.
Yeah. And what about the likes of Damien Gagan saying that people have been, the council has been stiffed over this?
No, I wouldn't agree. I suppose, look, in fairness to everybody, including the councillors, there's a lot of moving parts to this deal. There's 18 pages of heads of terms.
You've
here.
Got, is that the agreement or is that the heads?
That's the heads of terms. But right. Yeah, but I know you made a comment during the week there on the heads of terms. The heads of terms, this heads of terms
not
is probably
binding.
The most detailed heads of terms I've ever seen.
Can you leave me a copy of that? You will.
I can't, but I will. In time, I will.
I'm only kidding, yeah.
No, but there's nothing to hide in it because it basically came out anyway in the council. But that is the basis of the contract going forward that we're going to now be able to settle up in the next coming weeks.
You say you have nothing to hide. Is there anything to hide? Is there anything that should be out in the public domain that shouldn't be in the that should be in the public domain?
No, I sleep like a baby every night. I have nothing to hide. I can't wait for this to happen.
What is going to happen?
Well, we're going to get the diggers in the gate. And
when? Because we've spoken about diggers. We've spoken about this.
As soon as the weather turns right, I'm
firstly, there's a shareholder meeting. There's a lot of small shareholders out there. You have a majority on the shareholding now with the banks and the creditors and obviously the Waterford Council and Wexford Council and Kilkenny Council. So what, probably around 70% shareholding? Between all of those?
Yes. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So this is going to go through, but you have to. When is the EGM going to take place?
We hope to call a board meeting after the good news yesterday. We hope to call a board meeting this week. The resolutions will be sent out to the shareholders. There'll be an EGM call. There'll be a vote at the EGM, and off we go.
Okay. What happens next?
Parallel to that, because that's another thing, we have to do things parallel with this or we'll never get it
absolutely
done.
I was going to say that
the legal contracts have already started today. They'll be sent out. Like, there's 18 different solicitors involved in this. It's mind blowing.
Well, the council spent €640,000 on legal fees. They're not getting that back either.
No.
Okay, so there's loads of different agreements. That's all parallel.
Yes, all parallel.
So when would you hope to have all the legal agreements signed?
My mission would be to have it all done and dusted by Christmas.
By Christmas. Will this very rich man from Texas, will he be part of the board?
Are you sure he's from Texas?
Will it be part of the board? Don't be laughing at me now. What happens in terms of the company? Like, does he become a director? It can't be just you.
We are going to run a lean machine. So I'll be CEO of the airport. Aidan will thankfully stay on and be manager and COO. And we're going to run this business as tight as we possibly can. And we're going to deliver it. But to answer your question, from a shareholding point of view, his company will have to step in to Waterford Airport Limited.
Yes. And that's why I'm asking. So all the small shareholders, are you buying them out?
No.
No.
This is a new company.
Okay. So basically, again, we've spoken before, myself and Eamon Quinlan the other day, about transfer of assets, transfer of shares and all that type of thing. It's a new company is going to be established. The shareholders will be transferring into the new company, will they? Will they be offered? They won't.
No. There's no move in anything.
Will they get anything back? If a shareholder invested €1,000, they won't get it back?
No.
It's gone.
But they're going to get a brand spanking new airport.
Yeah, but any investment they have in this, it's gone.
No, but I will say now, we took that into account.
No, but it's as simple as that. They won't get their money back.
Yes.
That's it. Their shares will be worthless.
Absolutely.
Okay. And there's nothing they can do about it.
There'll be no value whatsoever. Existing company.
So this new company, totally private company, yourself and the American investor and the company that's around him.
Exactly.
What do you do? Do you have to go back to planning permission? Is there anything that needs to be done before you get boots on the ground and shovels in the ground?
No, we have to do the usual commencement notice and so on that you have to do on any normal project. But that's the one thing that I love doing and I'm good at. So I'm looking forward to getting into that.
When are you hoping to start? 1st of March, 1st of April?
As soon as the weather gets right. So yeah, first quarter next year, we're in there.
Okay. What's going to happen straight away?
The runway.
The runway is going to happen straight away.
Yeah.
What about the departure building, the terminal?
No, that'll follow on later on in the year. The priority is to get the runway down, lengthen, widening, ground stabilisation and get it all done. And we'll work our way in towards new taxiway apron and then into the terminal.
What company is going to do that?
WD Bolston, so my company.
Your own company.
Yeah.
How many people would you expect to be working on the project over the year of construction?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, actually, because that's one of the big positives that came out of yesterday is the job creation. So we could have up to between on and off 100 people working on this project, and then when it's complete we're going to be adding to the existing staff that are already there. That will be determined depending on the airlines that come in.
A lot of the airport operations will have to be put on hold for that 12 months.
Absolutely.
Will the staff be paid?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
They'll be paid. That's yeah. okay. And then when are you expecting the first flights?
And just on that, the staff being paid, we need a functioning airport because Sea Rescue has to run for
100%.
That.
I understand that. Yeah. Yeah.
So the runway will be closed, yeah. but Sea Rescue will be in operation.
When is the first flight due to happen?
Oh, well, that I can't answer because that is down to our buddies in all these airlines that we're talking to. And
how many are you talking to? Four or five?
No, it'd be three.
Three?
That we'd be talking
okay.
to.
Including Ryanair?
Yes, including okay. Ryanair. And they've been very positive.
And who are the other two? Aer Lingus Regional?
Aer Lingus Regional, you have Wizz Air, you have EasyJet. So,
okay.
you know, there's a selection of airlines that we're talking to. But it is difficult and it's impossible to tie them down until we start. So that's the crucial part of what happened yesterday. It allows a path forward to start.
How excited are you about all of this?
Yeah, I suppose I'm more excited than I realised after yesterday. So yeah, no, each step that we go through now, I'll be very happy when we hit Christmas and we've all the contracts done and everything's paid because that makes it real. This is just step one. For me, today is day one.
Is this definitely going to happen?
Well, if I have anything to do with it, it will. It has to happen. I'm delivering this. I made a promise. So did Sean McKeown and so did Michael Welch on the board. So we've all made a promise that this has to happen and it will.
Where would you like to see flights going to?
We have been offered an opportunity to put together a route plan, which is unusual to be asked, and I'm delighted with the contacts that we've built up. And we actually, my intention would be in the new year to go to the public and ask them where they want to go.
Okay.
Because in fairness to the public, really, we wouldn't be here only for them.
Are you going to rename the airport?
No, it's just a great name, isn't it? Waterford.
Waterford,
we'll have to incorporate Waterford South
Bolster,
East because
Waterford Bolster South Airport now?
No, I didn't earn that one yet.
We might do a naming.
They'll have to wait like die or something anyway before.
William Bolster, thank you very much.
Thank you, Damien.
Speaking to WLR, the people of Waterford had this to say about the news.
It's brilliant news. Absolutely brilliant news. I'm delighted that we're going to have an airport after all these years.
Yeah.
And we'll be able to go on our holidays now from Waterford Airport.
I think that's fantastic because I hate going to Dublin Airport. Now, Cork is not too bad, but like certainly for me, I'm living in Wexford. I come across on the ferry, so that would be brilliant. Like, you know, get someone to almost drop me to the airport. Right. Depending on the destination, I suppose, like, but I certainly would use it if it was available there, like, you know. Hopefully it does happen. It's been underutilised, really. And I suppose like he will fund then the runway extension as well. It has to happen, isn't it? Will this guy follow through on what he's saying? Like, you know, I suppose if he's putting the money in, like, what would be the point of it otherwise, you know, unless he's going to use the land for some other purpose. No, but hopefully it does happen then.
I think this is a game changing for Waterford. And I hope that the Waterford people will come on board and use the airport. But fair play to the council for selling it to the developers, because now the people, the developers, will do what the government didn't. The government forgot about Waterford.
Exactly. It's so disappointing that the government didn't come on board for the development. I hope people remember this the next elections when they come around.
Yeah.
They need to remember how the government absolutely left Waterford City down. Yeah. I think that's important.
Oh, it is. Just fantastic for the region again. I mean, we've completely lost out to smaller locations. Knock, for instance, you know, it's such a shame. And we had a very good training facility a few years ago. Obviously, it went by the wayside. I'm not sure why, whether it's lack of funding or the owners pulled out. But they had established a very good reputation, and it was very busy for training.
Yeah.
Commercial flights, absolutely, whatever we can get in. It would be lovely to see passenger flights coming back. You know, the daily runs, I'm sure we could get a daily run to Dublin now, possibly London. In and out, wouldn't it be just fantastic for all those commuters, you know, that are on traffic-laden roads every day of the week, and they could just hop on a flight cheaper, probably, unless they have electric cars, which most of them don't hang in for that long and hard to charge anyway in Dublin. So it would be brilliant news for Waterford. It is brilliant news.
So you said that you're a resident that lives very close to the airport, and you're wondering, kind of, you're a bit cautious about the future and what this means now that they're after approving this private funding. And obviously commercial flights are expected to be back in the airport by 2027, but you've got questions.
Yeah, I have questions over the residents of the surrounding of the airport. Look, as residents, we are all for the airport taking off, job opportunities, opportunity to be able to fly locally. But there's hesitance around that because we live right beside the runway. So does that mean that, you know, our house is going to be devalued? What happens with air pollution? What happens with noise pollution? Our concerns, nobody has come around us. Nobody has approached any of the residents, as far as I know, around the local area. So at what point is someone going to come and speak to us as residents that has to live here and listen to the noise pollution and deal with the also the pollution of the aircrafts?
Well, I mean, if the locals support it, it'll be great. It'll be great for flights out. But looking for 8,000 passengers a week, hopefully, it has to be supported by all the counties, Tipperary, Wexford, Kilkenny and Waterford.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it. And good flights. Also could be used for cargo. I mean, cargo flights, it's take the pressure off the ports and the trains and the trucks off the streets, maybe. So maybe cargo as well, yeah.